One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome to another episode.
Here we are.
From the Midwest Married Crew. And Amy, out of the blue, picked this topic.
I don't know. I just like had a feeling. I just was like, you know, this has been something I've been feeling lately. It's been on my heart. Yeah, I guess. Or mind. I don't know. I don't know if totally on my heart, if that's where it comes from, this topic.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it's just like the green-eyed monster that's like staring over my shoulder every now and then.
What is the topic?
Okay, so we're going to talk tonight about keeping up with the Joneses. This is something that I think that...
An important thing to do.
No.
Kidding.
But that
jokes.
We fought, like, for... Like, it's a topic that comes up in so many different seasons of your life, right? So, whether you are just... graduating school, like high school, and going into college, and keeping up with the Joneses as far as like which college you're going to go to, or what apartment you're going to have when you move out of your parents' house, or what car you're going to drive, or and so on. And then it kind of moves on to, well, everybody's moving on in life, and now everyone is getting married, and then everyone is having babies, and then everyone is landing a very fancy job, and then everybody is buying very fancy houses. And like, there is just no stopping it, I feel. And I just feel like I'm never keeping up with the Joneses. Personally, I don't know.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Well, you gave me the topic. So I found the stories.
Excellent.
And to be truthful, I found stories, I found titles that were highly upvoted. So I didn't read these through their entirety, but I tried to find ones that I thought would encompass our own situation.
Okay.
As well as some things that maybe we've experienced in the past. And then there's some stories that I think we can need to go into the comments, actually.
All right. And dive in and dig in.
Hit on them. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
It wasn't easy finding keeping up with the Joneses on Reddit. I'll be honest.
That was my very specific request.
And I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah.
But these are the ones
okay,
I found.
Perfect. Well, so thank you for being here with us, you guys. I'm Amy.
I'm Matt.
Yep. We're married in the Midwest. And we will see if you let us know in the comments if you guys also feel the pressure of keeping up with the Joneses or your personal experiences with us. Let us know if we're on base or totally off base.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, here we go.
Blind read, blind reaction. How do you avoid keeping up with the Joneses pressure?
Tough.
My husband and I are high income. About 300K combined gross in a relatively HCOL big city. Not New York or San Francisco. High cost of living. That's what it is.
High cost of living area.
I got it first.
These are regions where
I got it first.
Expenses for housing, groceries, taxes, and general living costs
I thought of it
exceed
first.
The national average.
Okay. High cost of living.
High cost of living.
All right.
All right.
My husband and I are high income, about $300,000 combined gross in a relatively high cost of living big city, not New York or San Francisco. We bought a house recently that was comfortable, great location, good school district, and big enough for a family, but was well below what we can technically afford. We are paying for necessary updates in cash. We made sacrifices to keep the mortgage low. Very small yard, no luxurious bathroom, etc. We have a modest paid off car and no debt other than the mortgage. I've always been so financially responsible, and buying a home below our means felt like the right choice. Here's the trouble. Trouble is, I'm starting to regret our decision. Our friends slash coworkers are buying nicer, bigger houses, and it feels kind of bad. Yep. They're looking for big forever homes, and I feel like our forever home sucks in comparison. Will we be the quote-unquote poor friends? Will our kids be embarrassed by our house? Will we miss having more space and a bigger yard? How do you all get over these feelings? Deep down, I know being financially prudent is good, but these nagging feelings suck. How do you ride through them? So short one to begin with.
Yeah, I thought that that was pretty fitting for us because for those that don't know, our house is a whopping 800 and, as Amy likes to say, 850 square feet.
Don't forget about that 50 square feet.
Yeah. So
counts.
Two adults, two kids, two dogs.
Two bedroom, one bath house.
Yeah, we're feeling a little cramped.
I mean,
and we've been
how
here
long?
Now for like a decade.
It's been 10 years. It's basically been 10 years that we've been living in this starter home that used to be my grandma's. So in addition to this, it has a lot of sentimental value. So I think that throws like a little bit of a wrench in for me because it's not something that I easily would give up. Like, yes, we're feeling so pinched for space. There's nothing to put things. Like, we're all on top of each other. You can't go to the bathroom without somebody knocking on the door and being like, I have to go potty. But in the same way, like the way that you compare this house to everything else on the market and the way that the market has been so hard and difficult, I mean, we just haven't left in 10 years. So.
Yeah. And we have looked, we started looking probably
six years ago, seven years ago. Right.
And
when the
kids
were little.
It finally came down to the point where we ended up getting very lucky. We were able to buy some land. And now we are in the process of building our forever home.
But building it ourselves.
Building it ourselves.
Both have full-time jobs, but with ourselves, but also with the help of my dad, who is a retired carpenter. So that helps. Like, we couldn't do it without him.
Correct.
Clearly. But it's not a crew. It's not a crew.
Nope.
It's a very slow process.
It's us after work on the weekends, and it's tough. It's it'll make you think, because I can relate with this.
Okay. Yes. Going
individual.
Back to the story and the keeping up with the Joneses pressure.
So, like, keeping up with the Joneses, it's always been, you know, you look at a good majority of our friend group with four bedroom houses and
or more,
they're living on a lake with boats and all these different things that
the toys, the four wheelers, the boat. Yeah. The boats.
We're
in the Midwest, you guys,
we want boats.
We just want a boat.
So it's tough sitting here like thinking, okay, we are, from a financial standpoint, school loans are practically paid off. Car payments paid off. Financially, in that aspect, I feel like we're doing very well. But
cool.
At the same rate,
no credit card debt.
It's like,
sweet.
Damn, I want a truck that costs $70,000 and I want the nice things.
But how do people do it? Like, I literally run the numbers and I'm like, how do people do it? I don't get it.
And we're not quite to the level of this family, right?
Right.
And we're not necessarily in a high cost of living area either.
Right.
Still high. It's higher. I think we are right above national average.
Okay.
So it's tough. It's tough to be responsible. I will tell you that. But what I will say is in the long run, your kids are never going to be, again, in the long run, they're never going to be ashamed of your house or, oh my gosh, you're the poor parents. Like that just doesn't seem, and even if they do feel that way for a period of time.
They could, maybe they might, as like they as get teenagers. Older,
they may realize, wow, my parents were really doing the responsible thing. They were able to retire when they were 62 because they did these responsible things. They didn't have a house with a ginormous mortgage at 8.5%, which it is right now, or they didn't extend themselves into credit card debt. They didn't have a $700 payment on a Mercedes-Benz and a $500 mortgage or
those loan. Are principles that will not even cross their mind until years and years and years and years, and they're in their 30s.
But those are all things that I want so bad.
So looking back, like you and I, our families did not come from very fancy means, very well-off means. My mom was a school teacher. My dad was a carpenter. They're both retired now. You also did not have very fancy upbringing.
My mom was in the retail business, jewelry, selling jewelry, slinging rings.
And she had like then her like, hey, years that were really good and then her years that were really not good, like as far as the economy goes, right?
Correct.
So, do you remember really being embarrassed to bring friends to your house? Like you didn't grow up in some big fancy house. I didn't grow up in some big fancy house. All the friends always went over to your house.
Yeah. And
there is no problem.
I agree with that. When I was younger, I didn't. I've only started to think about some of these things as I've gotten older and I'm sitting here because with our 850 square foot house, it makes it harder to entertain.
Yes.
I have thought, and I have purposely not invited people over due to the size of the house or not feeling like I have enough space to entertain or bring people over, or I'm not that I'm embarrassed, just that it makes it more difficult to house.
Oh, our table's like, how is everybody going to sit around our table?
Our awesome table that I'm sure we're in episode, this is episode 10, roughly.
I have no idea.
And for anybody that's paid attention, they're probably like, what is wrong with their table? We got spots here that are not wood color anymore. We got
fingerprints,
blue and pink
and
green.
And
things went crazy one day at art, and our
you want to tell the actual
great
story?
Grandma. No, that was just
great. Grandma Margaret is the most
nail
lovely,
polish remover.
Wonderful, best human being on this planet. We are so fortunate to have great grandma Margaret, which is Matt's grandmother.
Yes,
who is fabulous. And she comes and watches our kids every now and then while we go out on a date or out with friends or what have you. And there was just one of those days where she was with the kids and the kids were younger and she was watching. She was outside with one of the kiddos, the younger kiddo outside, and she was watching the older kiddo from Eloise from inside. And Eloise had, unbeknownst to Grandma Margaret, found our nail polish and proceeded to decorate our table in all sorts of little patterns of nail polish.
It's wonderful.
Very fabulous. However, when Grandma Margaret came in, she was just aghast with panic. And when she saw the nail polish, she went to go get my nail polish remover to remove said handprints and so forth from our table. But unbeknownst to her, the only nail polish remover that I had was non-acetone, which has, if anybody has ever used non-acetone, why did I have non-acetone nail polish remover? I have no idea. I think it was a mistake. I grabbed it on accident. I have no idea. Well, it doesn't work really well. And so as she's trying to scrub it, she panicked. She even called her husband to come over to try to help her fix this nail polish on this table. They scraped it. They tried everything. They could not get this to come off.
And here we are.
And then we came home and she was all in a little tizzy about it. And we said, hey, guess what? Don't worry about it, because you know what? Now we never have to worry about keeping the table.
No more tablecloths.
No, we don't. So, I mean, what's the point?
Right.
So we have embraced all of the sort of activities on our kitchen table, and kids do our projects all the time, and it works out just fine. And Grandma Margaret still comes and watches them all the time, and we love her so much.
So with that being said.
Okay. Matt tells me I tell stories that are way too long, so I apologize.
You know, it was great.
I don't know a short story. Go ahead, Matt.
So with that being said,
go ahead.
I think this table doesn't matter. None of our friends care about this table. Mm. They don't care that it's painted or whatever. No. Nobody's judging us.
No.
If they're your friends, they don't care. So,
and they like to hear that story of why our table has like handprints on it.
Yeah. So why I feel insecure about some of these things, I shouldn't. And I would say the same thing to this person. You shouldn't feel insecure. Your small house, it's great. People, you live with inside your means and you do what's best for your family in the long run. You do what's best for yourself and it's all going to work out. Nobody's going to care. Your friends aren't going to care that you have a small house. I should invite everybody over here.
I know.
And we should entertain more. We had a great time tonight when we entertained for our friends and their kids.
It's truly the pressure you put on yourselves.
There you go. And that's very accurate. And you don't need a Benz. You don't need a fancy boat for people to like you.
But wouldn't that be? I mean, it would be nice.
It would be nice.
But don't get it for people to like you, right?
Take this date and look out to the future of where you want to be, how you're going to get there, and take your time. Don't put unnecessary stress on yourself just because you want it now. Everybody wants it now. I want $1 million right now.
And everybody knows.
We'll get there.
Everybody knows that keeping up with the Joneses is bad, right? Like, you shouldn't have that pressure. It's like you should just be where you are and people will love you for who you are and blah, 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 blah.
I just want to be the Joneses.
But yeah, who are the Joneses? Jeez.
Who are they?
Okay. Let's go into the comments.
Who are the Joneses?
Let's go into the comments.
All right.
Will we be the poor friends? Will our kids be embarrassed by our house? Will we miss having more space in a bigger yard? Here's the response. Don't sweat it. It sounds like you guys made a smart decision that will save you thousands in the years to come. Don't worry about what others have. Just worry about what you need. Also, your kids will be embarrassed of you no matter what.
Facts.
That's true. I enjoy and try to live by the saying, take parenting seriously. Don't take your kids seriously. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
To add on to the quoted, will you be considered the poor friends or kids be embarrassed? It depends on what else you'll do with the money you save from buying under your abilities. You'll be the rich couple who goes on lots of trips, the nice couple who donate to their favorite charities, the blessed couple who retired early and have hobbies. Your kids might have more time with their parents who aren't working overtime to pay for their house. Your kids might get to travel, whereas their peers don't. Your kids will appreciate living without excess, but being comfortable, which is a very good thing to teach by show and display. I really like that.
Yeah.
Because there are so many other areas and things and avenues that like your life is defined in like this season of our lives. It's all about kind of the house, right?
Yep.
The house that you're living in, where you can entertain your friends and your guests and so forth. But for us, I mean, can we afford more? Probably, especially with, but we really, really value the trips that we take. We did a travel episode with Sarah. That's really something that's very important to us.
Yeah. Yep. We've done some cool trips. We've gone to Costa Rica. We've done Hawaii.
We've done
some cool things.
We haven't yet taken the kids on that. That exponentially makes things more expensive. But someday we'd like to take them on some trips and so forth. And that would be really, really great. And so the other areas of your life that you're able to do with a smaller house versus, okay, now we own a great big house, but that's all we do. That's all we have. Like, because all of the funds need to go towards the mortgage or the car or the whatever it is that is fancy and expensive and keeping up with the Joneses.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
So maybe you'll be poor, but maybe you'll also be rich in other areas. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I hope that our kids will be able to afford houses someday.
I know. Maybe.
So, I mean, I think we've hit that. I think it was good. Let's bounce to the next one. Unless you got something juicy.
Just one more little comment.
Okay.
Everyone is posting about you and your feelings, which is the most important thing to consider here, but also consider how your decisions benefit your kids. I've met the adults that grew up with parents like your friends. They are terrible with money. They grew up seeing it as squandered, and so they squandered it too. Keeping up with the Joneses is a hard cycle to break, but your kids will seriously benefit from you taking the harder road.
Okay.
I think that's kind of nice. Sometimes, okay, so we are living here, teeny tiny little house, 2 bedrooms, a living room, a bathroom, kitchen. Basically, that's it, right? And sometimes I worry about going into a bigger house because we are so together all of the time.
Right.
We sleep in on the weekend and we are in our bedroom and our door is open and we can sleep in, but we can also hear the kids in the living room and their shenanigans.
Yep.
We can hear them if they're crying or if they're fighting or if they're,
getting
being quiet,
along,
getting along. Right. Oh, love. The peace. Nice. You know, now that they're older, we can, it's reminiscent of what we grew up with Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Nice. Except it's Disney Plus. So I worry about losing that togetherness.
Yeah.
When we have more.
So how do you keep it? Topic for a different discussion, but
I don't know. Tell me how.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I don't know. I worry about it. Okay. Here's the second story. Struggling with desire to keep up with the Joneses. Some of my husband's family members are buying brand new houses. They have nice cars, fun toys, big TVs, all things on credit, they've told us. I'd be lying if I said it doesn't seem nice. Especially when you want to have everyone over at your place, but you feel bad trying to fit everyone into your 2-bedroom apartment. Oh, I relate to that. But I am learning where to find my contentment. I'm learning how to work hard and have self-control. I'm learning to live within our means. I'm learning how to live like no one else now so I can live like no one else later. That's a quote from someone that's controversial. What would be some encouragement you'd have for someone who is struggling with these feelings? Or am I the only one? Well, for sure not the only
one.
For
sure. We just touched on it.
We are also with you.
So I wanted to bring this one into the fold because I saw the live now so you can live better later.
Here's the quote. Here's the famous quote that came from You Gotta Tell Me Who, because I will tell you who. Because we actually, at one point in our lives.
Dave
Ramsey. Learning how to work hard and have self-control. I'm learning to live within our means. I'm learning to live like no one else now, so I can live like no one else later.
Right. And there's a number of spinoffs off of that quote. Sacrifice now, so you don't have to sacrifice later.
We read the Dave Ramsey book back in the day.
There's a ton of different versions of that. So
we did the snowball effect or whatnot when we were paying off our wedding because, debt.
It worked for us. I mean,
At that point. Are his principles a little outdated now? Could they be updated? Maybe. I mean, I think so.
So I had brought this in to the fold because I wanted to touch on retirement. Not really sure of who is listening and what age bracket they are currently, but the sooner you start saving for retirement, the better off you are in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sacrificing and you're not spending with outside your means, you're putting towards some of these different things for your future and you're saving money and investing and doing all the right things, you're able to retire earlier. You'll have way more money in the long run. I saw this other story that really wasn't related, but it was how a couple like saved and saved and they were friends with another couple. And that other couple always would be like, hey, come on over. We'll have you for dinner. Come over and grill. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, let's go out. And they would pick up the tab. And then as they aged and they were ready for that retirement, the original couple decided, hey, we're going to retire early at like 58.
Right.
And they lost that other couple as friends because of their financial situation.
Because the other couple had to continue to work.
Yeah. And they had to actually continue to work past the 65 mark, the average. They had to work past that. And they were that couple that had to work longer, they were upset with the people that retired early because
they weren't in the same boat.
Like, I thought we were really great friends. You never told us of your financial positions. You never here you are retiring early. They really took offense to that, which I thought was really interesting. But being financially savvy with your money and not living outside your means and not keeping up with the Joneses means you get to live the end of your life rather than work it away.
I find this and everything is great in theory, right? But I also feel like it's very difficult to actually put into practice and to live out. And I love hearing it from you. Because I also know that you are the very first one to volunteer to pay for a round. I also know you're the very first one pay for supper for everyone and so forth.
Sometimes.
And that's who you have been through the years and the decades.
I don't pick up too many tabs for full-blown suppers, but go on.
Okay, but we're having people over and you're buying all the meat. And that's the expensive part and so forth.
Sure, but I expect when I go to their house, they're going to do the same.
Or you're going to go to the grocery store and you're the one who overdoes it to make sure that we have enough of everything.
You don't want people to go hungry.
Listen.
Okay.
That's the problem. Here's the issue that I have with all this beautiful, I've heard and I'm just going to be real with you, right?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds great to just put it all to retirement and to sacrifice and to so forth. But in the meantime,
you got to live.
You need to live. And
I agree.
And
that's
why
I'm a spender. See, it comes full circle. It sure does.
And you want your kids to go and play t-ball and you want them to play hockey or whatever, little activities that they have, right? You want to be able to provide that for them. I want to buy a t-shirt. I want to buy a book series that I really love. And then drunk on wine one night, I want to go on TikTok shop and buy a t-shirt that represents the book series that I just read.
Looks great, by the way.
It's a fantastic t-shirt. I'm not wearing it today. I'll wear it next episode, I promise. But you want to be able to do those small little itty bitty things.
Yeah.
And in the world of Dave Ramsey, you'd be shamed for all of that.
You're not supposed to gift. You're supposed to save and you're supposed to
scrimp and save and every single penny. And I get that.
And then as you get older, you're able to gift.
Right.
Per Dave Ramsey.
And it's also really, really difficult, though. It's not just boring, but it's also really, really difficult. But if you think about all the milestones, I've often thought that it's backwards because you graduate high school, you go to college, you get the good job, and then you're supposed to get married. You're supposed to buy a house. You're supposed to have kids. You're supposed to...
There's a checklist.
There's the checklist of all the things. And those are the things also. It's not just monetary things of keeping up with the Joneses. It's the accomplishment things of keeping up with the Joneses.
Sure.
And so it's all of these things that you're supposed to do.
I really like that you brought that up.
Yeah. And like, how in the world do you accomplish all of these things and save for retirement and... like not invest in your relationships with people? Because like, let's be honest, to invest and be with those people that are your best friends, unless you have all the energy to put into like scrimping and saving and still going out and being with them and connecting with them. Like it takes a little bit of money to contribute to the activities that connect you with people. So like you have to live your life while you're waiting for retirement. And some people don't even make it to retirement. So
true.
How terrible and sad for the people who scrimped and saved and sacrificed and then died before they could enjoy it. I'm not saying go and blow all your money. Please don't do that. That's also very financially irresponsible. I will tell you that I, for years and years and years, have had a budget meeting with myself every 2 weeks, every single paycheck. I will go through and pay all of my bills, and I will also review everything that I've spent for the past 2 weeks prior.
I join occasionally. It's true.
We encourage Matt to participate. I tell him when his spending is a little outside of his normal. So it's hard. It's not an easy thing. It's not just save all your money, save it for retirement, put more money away for retirement, because in the interim, we're trying to pay off student loans. We're trying to take care of our kids. We're trying to pay groceries. We're trying to pay our mortgage, or heaven forbid, we are trying to have a bigger house. Like you almost feel bad for, like we should just stay in this house with this teeny little mortgage and this teeny little interest rate. Matt and I have lived in the living room for a period of time when the babies were not sleeping well. And so they each had to have their own room. Like we legit took the mattress off of our bed, people.
It was great because there's a TV in the living room and not one in our bedroom.
We're not so putting TV in our bedroom. Watch
TV and fall asleep to like
what,
Ancient Aliens and the History Channel and The Curse of Oak Island was on quite often.
I slept through all
Wonderful.
That. But we took our mattress, we put it in our living room. We didn't have a living room. The baby had a room. The older child had a room. Like we did, like those younger years, you do what you have to do to survive, right? And that's what we did to survive in our little 850 square foot little house. Mm-hmm. Now we are back in our bedroom. The kids are sharing a room. All is well. We're building a house. It's probably way too big, but it's probably an overreaction from the trauma of being on top of each other the entire time.
It's going to be great.
Anyway.
It's not that big.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Here's some comments. What would be some encouragement you would have for someone who's struggling with these feelings? Save the posting you just wrote and set a reminder to look at it in 5 years and then again at 10 years from now. If your experience is like mine, you'll see that those same spenders are in a variety of different positions financially. A very few will still be wildly successful. A couple will be doing moderately better than now. Hopefully you're in this group. Others will be stuck in houses that they can't afford to leave because they are underwater or behind on repairs that make it difficult to get caught up, but they're still paying all the bills on time and aren't hungry, just unsatisfied. Still, others will have lost the houses and belongings and are behind where you are now. When thinking about keeping up with the Joneses, understand that the race isn't with others, it's with ourselves. Don't want to be something only because someone else has it. Determine if your life would be objectively better with that thing and without the money in your life you'd need to part with to own it. So many purchases can simply come down to this. If you were offered a $700 flat screen or $700 in cash, which would you take? Most would say the $700 in cash. Well, that's what you have right now.
How big is a flat screen?
$700 worth, whatever that is. We got off topic, as we always do, but a little bit, because you were like, oh, I like that point that you made about not just the money that you spend, but the milestones in life with keeping up with the Joneses. I feel like you had more to say about that.
There are a lot of people that are looking at a timeline specifically, especially one that has probably been grilled into you during your youth of when the right age to get married is, when you should have graduated college, get your first job, married, kids, house, big house, retired.
Snowbird for us Midwesterners.
Snowbird.
That is the goal.
That's the goal, right?
I'd love to do that one day.
So I just think that there are standards that are set into play where you're racing for marriage or you're racing for kids.
Those next accomplishments.
Those next accomplishments.
Your grad degree, your PhD, your...
In reality,
big it
doesn't,
job.
It doesn't matter if you get married at 21 versus somebody who gets married at 30 or 38. Or if you have kids when you're 25 or 35. You're on your own timeline. You don't need to compete.
It shouldn't be a race against others.
It shouldn't be a race against others. Enjoy your life. Take it as it comes and go with the
Why
flow.
Why do we feel that pressure? I think everybody knows the answer of this. Why is that pressure so much more?
They're worried about what other people are going to think.
But it's so much more visible
Judgment.
These days. Social media. It's so much more visible these days. I literally in my 20s had signed off of Facebook or whatever it was, because that was what it was in our 20s, because I was feeling sad and depressed and behind because everybody on Facebook was sharing pictures of these beautiful houses and these beautiful kids and these beautiful weddings, and I wasn't there yet. And I was like, I'm behind. I'm not good enough. Look at all these people who are doing all these wonderful things, are going on all these wonderful vacations. They're going on all these wonderful experiences with work and kids and all the things, right?
Right.
And I wasn't there. And I feel like that is such a common thing that our generation was probably the first to experience. I mean, our parents did not, because the internet literally did not exist when they were younger.
Right.
And so it was all only word of mouth. Like, oh, what are the Andersons doing down the street? Well, it looks like they're building a deck off their house. I don't know. Maybe they're going to put in a patio.
I love when you change your voice. It's good. Good work. I agree. Yes.
Right?
It didn't travel as fast. You are very much in the know with what is transpiring in people's lives if they're posting on social media. So I agree with you.
Even if the few post on social media, it shows up on your page. And so even the few feels like a lot. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And who posts things on social media? It's their big accomplishment. The graduations, the weddings. I mean, those just show up, right? Like you're not going to, probably the majority of people are not going to not share those big events.
Right.
At some point.
I'm with you.
So so that is my experience, that I have legit taken my social media off my phone. I have unsubscribed. I have taken breaks from social media because it has deterred me, especially in my younger 20s, so much to the degree that I'm like, I hate this. I hate seeing what everybody else is up to because it makes me feel like shit. It makes me feel so bad. So I take it off. Have you had that same experience, or is it just me?
I think we approach it differently.
Okay.
I see people posting things that they have gotten or have accomplished. And I see that and I'm like, how the hell am I going to get that fishing boat? How am I going to get that house? How am I going to get that type of car? What do I have to do in my own life to do that?
Was it ever, how am I going to get that marriage and that baby and that degree?
I knew I was going to get you, so no, that didn't transpire. Sorry. But no, I see those things. I understand how you can be like,
It's not just about the things.
I thought I would be so much further along than where I'm at today. 38, still in this small house, no boat. It's all right.
Not yet.
It's going to happen. But yeah, I've thought, like, where did I go wrong? Like, why didn't I get there? I felt like I would be way further along. Hmm. When you would have asked me this in high school, oh, for sure. Like, by 25, I would have had all this shit. Hmm. In college, maybe that changed a little bit. We had a professor one time ask us, hey, out of college, how much money do you think you're going to make?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the vast majority of the class, everyone said, $75,000 graduating with a 4-year degree in business and marketing.
Right.
To $100,000. Nope. Our teacher was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's right on. That's the average.
No.
I graduated. The best job at the time I could find was $32,000 salary. Oof. With some commission.
That doesn't even pay your student loans.
Probably made 40-ish. And then I was right around in the 50s for the next couple of years.
And that was like,
and that was starting
10 to 15 years ago.
Would have been 2011. So okay. 13 years ago.
Okay.
Oof. Gosh, this conversation hurts right now.
I mean, that's what it was. That's the world. Like, what is everybody starting at now with their salaries?
Gotta
I
up
mean,
our game.
I know it's probably more given the economics, but also the buying power is way less now than, and also us comparing ourselves to, we are comparing ourselves to our parents' generation. Again, we talked about this in our college episode where my parents were like, oh, go to college. You're going to be able to pay it off. No problem. When I first started working, I worked with a doc who was my mentor, and he was like, yeah, you know, when I went to school, I worked during the summer, and with what I made during the summer, I paid for my med school. So I don't understand everybody nowadays who's like drowning in debt. I'm like, well, I'm one of those people drowning in student loan debt, and I for sure cannot pay for that with work during the summer. I would have loved that scenario.
Yeah.
I worked all through the year and still could not pay for that. Without a degree.
To your point, yes, I think that feeling behind is normal. Do I feel behind right now? I do. Yes, I do. I feel behind. But at the end of the day, when I look at a vast majority of individuals, not just people that I know, I feel like we are very well off, and I am fortunate for what we do have and where we are at, because I can see the long picture in the long game that we are going to be in a good position when we get to the age that we want to retire. So,
and it's not just about like the monetary things of what you have. It's okay. Yep. We have a great family. We have great support system. We have great friends.
Like, I wish I would have knocked
for all that thing. I mean, all those things.
I wish I would have knocked you up when we were 21. We would have had a lot more energy parenting.
I do not.
Here we are.
That
38,
sounds no.
And it's tiring.
That is terrible.
Oh,
we have so much energy.
Jokes.
Jeez.
I mean, you used to be able to stay up all night long when we were in our 20s.
Yeah, you were playing video games. Would you have wanted to like take care of a no.
Oh my God. Play with me.
No.
Jokes.
I feel like we're ready for our next story.
You better get them.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The next story.
Moving on. Am I the asshole for moving into a classier neighborhood and, quote, bringing down the property value? I am a 25-year-old woman in engineering. I was very lucky to have a full ride scholarship to school and land a great job when I graduated. I've been living a really frugal life because it's rather set myself up for a long-term future than blow my money now. My family was never that financially stable, so the things I value most are saving and investing for the future. So I can drive an old truck I fix up. I ride my bike a lot to places too. I'd rather have friends over for drinks and potlucks than go out to eat. And 6 months ago, I was able to buy a house. It's in a neighborhood just outside of a city in the Midwest. I wanted to be just slightly outside the city because the local taxes are a lot lower. My house is in a totally residential area with mostly families. Apparently, the schools nearby are very good. Mm. It kind of sucks in some ways. It's not really diverse at all. And after having moved there, it seems like people look down at anyone who's too different. There's not much to do within walking distance. I bike to the city, but most people drive. So here's the conflict. A bunch of my neighbors have told me that I'm bringing property values down and things like that. I'll give a couple examples of stuff that people have said and why. I have an old truck and I fix it up myself. Used to always use parts from a junkyard or online shopping, but then I heard about a guy who wanted a broken down truck, same make and model and year as mine, towed away. I said, I'd take it for free because I wanted to be able to use it for parts when something on my truck needs to be replaced. It saved me a lot of hassle having it right there. Just a month ago, someone rear-ended me and I was able to use the tailgate, back panel, and taillight assemblies to fix my truck. I keep the parts truck under a cover when I'm not working on my main truck. My next door neighbor said that the neighborhood wanted me to get rid of the eyesore because of property values. I said I'd keep it covered, but I was using it. Next, I have a lot of friends who ride bikes or electric scooters to get around. When they come over, they lock their bikes and scooters up outside because they're in the habit of always locking up. Another of my neighbors said that all the bikes locked to the fence make the area look trashy and criminal. Nobody locks up bikes. Plus, the bikes look, quote-unquote, cheap. Plus, they have rules in the area about no street parking overnight and limited street parking in the day to keep big parties out. But we're bypassing the intent of that rule by biking. I didn't even know that was a thing. All my friends just happen to rarely drive. I don't know what to say. I feel like they ought to stay in their lane. I don't want to start blowing money to keep up with the Joneses, but they seem mad that I'm not fitting in. Not gardening and landscaping, not getting a new Beamer, etc. Am I the asshole for living how I've been living?
No, you're not the asshole. But I do understand how that looks from strictly a appearance standpoint of, gosh, that place looks like a dump, or wow, they got a lot of shit in their yard and I would not want to live next to them because I want a certain standard or appeal. However, that is not on me. And honestly, I have no right to dictate what's transpiring there. So no, keep doing what you're doing. Financially, probably great for you. And yeah, sucks to be them, I guess. If you can do anything to make it more appealing, I would implore you to look at those options. Move the truck out to an area where they can't see it. Move the bikes maybe to the back of the yard, the back door. Mm. The side of the house, somewhere where it's less noticeable, right? But the only people that should really care about the property value are the people that are looking to sell and get out of the neighborhood.
Right.
Because if your property's valued lower, it means less taxes. Let's get with the program, people.
I agree overall, okay. Right?
Okay.
And I wonder maybe if like there's more to it, because like there's basically only two things. There is a parts truck that she has parked, it seems. Which, I mean, is that really a big deal? Like to have one truck?
I can see it. I can see it in this hoity-toity neighborhood.
And there's one parts truck.
With a truck that looks like it's from the 80s or 90s, maybe the 70s. I don't know. And it looks like hell.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a big deal to me.
And you're putting a tarp over it. It looks bad.
Put a nice tarp over it?
Think about it like driving into Parkwood.
But if there's only one... If there's only one, like it makes a difference if there's 10 or 20. This is where we live, you guys. If there's multiple parts trucks, I get it. If there's just one, I don't know. I don't really have a huge problem with that personally, especially if you've got a nice cover on it. Get a canvas cover if people are really up in arms about it, because it does benefit you to be a good neighbor and to have your neighbors have your back. It really does.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you want
to
have...
try to find ways to appease them.
Right.
This is, you live, clearly you're living a different lifestyle. And she's bought into a wealthier neighborhood than what she's been accustomed to up to this point. So try to find some middle ground. See if you can make it work. But
I don't think that having a parts truck, though, is like the worst thing in the world.
No,
put it in your garage. Put it behind your garage.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a fiscally responsible thing to do. Maybe put a nice canvas cover over it if people are really upset about it. But also,
I don't think that is
the worst thing in the world. And then the second thing is the bikes. The friends coming over, and yes, the bike's like chaining to her fence or whatever. So, okay, yeah, tell your friends when they come over, hey, you know what? We're okay. Please just put your bikes in the garage. Or if they don't have a garage, there probably is a different area that might be better if they're in a hoity-toity neighborhood, right? For these bikes to be less obtrusive. But, I mean, she still needs to have her friends over. She owns a house in that area. So I don't think that's a problem.
I don't think it's a problem. Necessarily. I don't think she's in the wrong. I do see the value, again, from what you said, is it's good to have neighbors that you're tight with, right?
That you're good, that've got your back.
That's got your back. It's good to have good neighbors.
But there's other things, like as a neighbor, okay, then I value having your lawn mowed all the time. Like, are you letting your lawn mow up? Like lawn grow super high? Do you not weed your garden? Do you not like upkeep the appearance of your house in general? Because those two things for me are not enough to be like, oh yeah, they are trouble.
You're right. I absolutely agree with you. You're on point. Well, with that.
Okay, let's see what the comments say. If investing in the future is something you value, then build a new garage. Solves all of your problems. Hides the parts truck. Provides secure parking for your friends. Upgrades the value of your home and your neighborhood. I think that's great.
I wonder if she knows how much a garage costs.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Here's another comment. You are the asshole. In your comments, you say you had a garage that you tore down and put a gravel parking pad for your junky truck. You're lowering your own property value that way. You refuse to invest in your investment that is your property and are bringing everyone else down with you because you don't want to take care of your place. Great. With such a good relationship with your neighbors, I'm sure your life is going to be peachy. If you didn't want to deal with the Joneses, you shouldn't have moved in to that type of neighborhood. Oh, geez.
I'm curious to know what status the garage was in. She tore it down. That's interesting. Mm. You don't just tear down a garage if it's good.
But maybe it wasn't in good repair. Who knows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it was in a bad condition.
Overall vote, though, was you're the asshole. I am apparently giving this person, this OP, too much grace.
Well, again, if you look at certain properties, when you drive up, you know. Like, you immediately, like, these flipping people, like, seriously, clean your shit up.
Yeah, you don't want to have... I mean, she
and
only listed a two things, right? She didn't say she has garbage all over the place.
Parts truck. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see how.
More comments. You're the asshole for some of it. Being frugal is great. So is biking. But failing to keep your property tidy and keeping a junked truck visible is not. If you want to work on your truck, do it in a garage or at least keep the parts in your backyard away from visibility and keep your yard neat. There's probably a city ordinance on this stuff anyways. You know, we might just be too Midwest. Where like this is just too much the norm. But we're everybody has a parts truck. Like as long as there's only one and there isn't like 10, who cares?
Not that many people have parts trucks. What I'm saying is like back to my earlier point, you should move it. You should move it to the back. You shouldn't keep it in the front.
Visibility.
Again, if we were in Woodland, we had people complain about us having three cars in the driveway.
I mean, not that many though.
But it happened.
Minnesota, nice. Here's another comment. Based on this post and your comments, I'd say you're the asshole. You could have rebuilt the garage so you could house your parts truck and the bikes, but chose not to. This would solve the problem of having a tarp-covered parts and truck, which is an eyesore and does cheapen the look of an area visible to everyone. And yes, this can make it harder for people to sell their houses. I was leaning towards your side on the bikes until I read your comment that this might be up to 15 bikes. How big is your fence to even accommodate this? That just seems excessive and to the point where I'm wondering if it blocks sidewalks. And I can understand why it might raise some eyebrows, particularly if parking rules have been devised so that people don't have large parties in their houses. You also comment on how you're not gardening or landscaping. Again, having your front yard in particular not taken care of is an eyesore and suggests that you don't care about keeping your house and the neighborhood looking nice. And to be brutally honest, unkept yards are another thing people are looking at when they are working out how good a neighborhood is. Overall, it comes across that you might have gone from being frugal to cheap and aren't willing to spend the money or effort it takes to be a good neighbor and keep your property looking nice, which obviously isn't going to endear you to them. These Reddit people are like sleuths in these, like picking apart these little like posts of it was one sentence where she was like, people are annoyed that I'm not landscaping. And they... whether it is right or wrong or coming out and being like, hey, dude, you got to make sure you mow your lawn, which I did bring up that point.
Oh, maybe she's mowing her lawn. People don't realize how expensive a garage is. I'm going back to it.
Oh,
but I mean, I'm just going to ballpark it. 30 grand.
Minimum. Put the effort in to keep up with the Joneses. Even though it's not financial.
Mow your lawn. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
Look, that's if you want to have neighbors enjoy you or like you. Do the best you can.
Right.
You don't have to.
Right. Everybody can have their own feelings.
Doesn't make you a bad person. Just.
But they might.
They might not like you. And people might think you are the asshole because of what you're doing.
Yeah. They might think you're the problem. Especially if you don't mow your lawn. Just mow your lawn. If you can't mow your lawn...
Now I'm on the fence.
All right, are you ready for a definition about keeping up with the Joneses? Because I've got one for you.
I'm ready.
Refers to the tendency to compare oneself with one's neighbors or peers in terms of material possessions or social status. Reflects a desire to match or exceed the perceived standard set by others. And I like that. The perceived standard, not the actual standard... But like what we feel everybody else is doing, that's what we feel we need to be doing.
Yeah,
this has really driven consumer culture, apparently.
Yeah, I can see that.
And actually the advertising world and consumer culture has driven this desire to keep up with the Joneses. And so we are through the marketing that we consume, encouraged to spend more, of course, right? Like that is the purpose of marketing, but still.
As a marketing background, I love it. Yes, I agree.
not only are we encouraged to do it just to keep up with our literal neighbors, but then we have societal pressures through social media, so through advertisement, that we also should be buying such and such and doing such and such to keep up and to keep up social graces, right?
Yeah, companies want you to buy their shit.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Not great, though. Okay, so impact on well-being. Research suggests that excessive focus on materialism and social comparison can lead to decreased happiness and well-being. It can contribute to financial stress, feelings of inadequacy, and strained interpersonal relationships. I feel like that's like no surprise to anyone, right?
Imagine if you were just satisfied with everything you had and you were just content.
I mean, I think that there is a push a little bit towards that, the minimalism, the tiny homes, the selling everything and just buying a bus and going on a road trip and working virtually from wherever you land up. I mean, that sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? You could just be like working on a beach.
You know who that works for?
Writing a book.
You know who that works for?
Hmm.
People that don't have hobbies.
No, I feel like their hobbies could be surfing.
Sure. One hobby. Maybe this is the problem with the Midwest. This is my take. We like a lot of different things because we have all the seasons. We can do it all. We can snowboard and ski and ice fish in the winter. Mm-hmm. In the summer, we can fish. We can water ski. We can hunt.
But if you own a van...
We can go and do photography. We can go and do...
Matt, listen.
All these different things. And you want to do all those things. So obviously you want to be good at photography, right? You're going to have to buy a substantial camera. You want to also then bow hunt. You're going to need $1,000 compound bow. You're also going to need that.
Does everyone know who I married here? This is it.
You want a mountain bike?
We have Spirit
Mountain right down the road. So if you want a mountain bike, obviously you're going to need a full suspension bike. So you're going to spend several grand there.
You don't have a mountain bike, thank God.
Not yet.
Doesn't fit in the budget. Yes, Midwest is wonderful. But there are people who enjoy like taking their van and they go from this coast to this coast and they just work virtually and they do all of the things in a very minimalistic lifestyle.
And I bet that's wonderful and I could do that for a period of time, but not forever.
Some people might.
Yeah, some people might.
Yeah, and then they don't feel the pressure of the Joneses and the keeping up and with societal norms and so forth.
I believe that. So, all right.
Social media platforms amplify opportunities for social comparison as individuals often curate and present idealized versions of their lives, contributing to feelings of inadequacy or jealousy among users. I have for sure felt that. Not keeping up with the social... I mean, we kind of mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. I don't know.
Maybe male perspective, you haven't felt that as much, but female perspective, I have felt that so many times over and over and over again as far as I'm not enough, I'm not where I should be, I should be smarter, I should be wealthier, I should be more fun, I should be prettier, I should be skinnier.
I'll say, I agree. I can feel those things at times. From a keeping up with the Joneses standpoint, like, I'll try to be so open and honest right now.
You can do it, Matt.
If we are planning on doing an activity.
Okay.
I don't know if it's keeping up with the Joneses or if it's that I want to be the best at something. So when I look at, let's say, fishing or hunting or photography, surfing. If I am going to go surfing, I want to be successful off the jump. And I want to then go and buy the best surfboard that I can buy because I've already made the choice, in my brain at least, that I'm going to do this. This is an activity that I am going to do. And if I'm going to continue with it, why would I spend this
$300.
$300 versus $1,000 when I know I'm going to continue to do it. So why not just spend $1,000 now? I'll be that much farther ahead in the game and we're off to the races. Good to go. So that is where...
You've got the best equipment to set you up for success.
So then people can look at me and be like, oh, I want to be like him. Now, I don't
That's where it all comes together.
I don't ever think that, but
yes, I'm just you do. Saying,
no, I don't. I don't want people to think, oh, LaFlamme's got it. We've got to get it. No, not at all. I just want to be the best. When I buy things, I'm looking at it from a personal gain perspective. I could get by with cheaper items. I could get by with a cheaper camping tent, but I don't
feel
want,
bad for me, people. Please, please.
I'm a spender.
I need
it's
your
a problem.
Compassion.
I'm
gonna, I need your.
I gotta rest. We gotta move on to the next story. We gotta go to the next story. I'm out. I'm moving. I'm done talking until the next
Matt's
story.
Matt's gonna have a hard time in our budgeting episode. Yes. No, I feel that, and I see that. That, and I understand it to a point where you're getting into something and you want to be successful at that something, and maybe you're all gung ho. So you're like, yes, if I buy this better item, this better tool, I'm going to be more successful versus if I'm going to buy this cheaper tool, I'm going to use it for a few times and then I'm going to have to buy the better tool anyway. So why don't you just buy the better tool right off the bat? And then this is girl math. You just, that saves you money in the long run because you're not buying the cheaper tool and then the better tool. You're just buying the better tool.
You got it.
I know you, Matt. I know you.
So this could, it's okay. This could go down a rabbit hole. Okay. Here's, it's a personality trait that I'm going to put this on is that I'm a high level achiever. I strive to be up here.
Here's the problem,
all
though.
All the things I do.
But if you start a hobby and you decide not to pursue it, then we still just have the most expensive camera that you have not made a photography business out of.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It was a hobby, never a business plan. Moving on, next story.
All right. Keeping up with the Joneses. I've been getting so jealous of my sister and her boyfriend because they take their kids out to dinner and all these fun things. And it's made me so sad because I can't afford to do that for my daughter. Last night, my sister told me they only paid half their rent payment last month and haven't paid this month's yet. Their rent is $875 per month. Mine is $1,200. I've never been even a day late. And it dawned on me. I can't afford to do those things because I've been prioritizing a roof over our heads and food in my daughter's belly. They haven't been, and that's why it's so dangerous to keep up with the Joneses. Because the Joneses, in this case, are jeopardizing their housing. I don't feel jealous anymore. I feel shocked that my sister could be so irresponsible, but proud of myself for never once considering spending my rent money on frivolous things. Any response to that?
Yeah, her sister's insane. You missing your rent payment? Are you serious? In order to go out and eat and live a frivolous life? Like, not acceptable. You have to be responsible with your money. And honestly, an $875 mortgage, you don't come across that very often. That is incredible. I don't know what size house they're living in.
Probably 850 square feet.
That's about right. You just can't. You can't do that. You can't opt not to pay your rent to go and do other things.
It's
super irresponsible.
It's money is so hard. because it's a very easy thing to turn a blind eye to these days where you have credit cards and so forth. I would encourage everyone to not turn a blind eye to it. Like, I literally have family members who have told me, I grew up in poverty, and so therefore, now that I'm in a more financially stable situation, I choose not to look at it because to look at it brings me back to the trauma of my childhood. And I don't want to have to hear all the things I can't do and can't spend money on and cannot have it. So I think that it's very psychologically linked, right? You can go one way or another way. It sounds like the OP went one way with their lived experience and is very frugal and making sure that they're prioritizing their rent and food, you know, the basics, the necessities, which if you ask anybody, yep, you need to prioritize that before you go and do anything else. Mm-hmm. And the other person is legit probably turning it off, saying, I can't deal with this. I'm too stressed. We're just going to go out to eat tonight. Which, honestly, that's the easy answer. When I come home from a long day of work and I'm exhausted and I don't know what I'm going to serve for dinner, I haven't made it to the grocery store.
Yeah.
What's in the cupboards? What's in the fridge? I have no idea. That's the easy answer. We didn't grocery shop.
It's...
Right? That's the easy answer.
Very convenient answer.
And it's something that you can push down the road. I'll pay for it later, basically. Right? Yeah. And then you have your 2-week budget meeting and you go through all those things and you're like, oh, we ate out a lot the past 2 weeks. We got to slow our roll on that.
Realistically, when you look at the cost of going out to eat,
it's so expensive in today's age.
Even McDonald's.
Yes.
If we go out, get 2 Happy Meals, a McDouble, a McChicken, medium fry, medium Coke, and you usually get a burger that has the lettuce and the tomato, fries, soda, you're looking at easily $50.
At least 45.
Yeah, it's 40. Yeah. It's $45, $46, depending on which side of the bridge you're on. Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Sure.
And then if you actually want to go out to Outback Steakhouse, you're going to go out to 7 West.
Well, I'll tell you, for Father's Day, it was $120
for the
120 for
4 of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's super expensive. So when you're going out, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that you got to really reel in, which is hard. It's hard.
Because it's so fun to go out and eat.
It's nice. I love it. Yes, I get it. But it's hard when you're not able to do that all the time. You need to recognize your financial position.
So, all right. So,
to the comments. To the comments. This is why I had to delete social media. See, I was not the only one. There's always FOMO, and I found I was spending money on stupid shit. No one in real life cares about your Gucci bag or your trip to Mexico. I would much rather keep my head down and pay off debt than this. Also, it's kind of weird when people that you don't know, but maybe you had distant ties to, and you randomly see them come up and they were like, hey, I saw that you went on a fancy trip. How was it? And you're like, wow, I haven't seen you in 20 years. It was great.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. People see that stuff, right?
They do. And you forget that people see that you put out on social media.
Again, I think sacrificing to pay off your debts, like, people don't know everything that you're doing. When you go on a fancy trip and somebody sees that, like, oh my gosh, how could you afford to go to Costa Rica for 2 weeks? Well, we live in an 850 square foot house and our mortgage is itty bitty in comparison to somebody who has a 4-bedroom house with 3 bathrooms.
Ta-da!
Here we are. So, yeah, it's, you don't know what you can't see.
Right. Another comment: for Christmas, I got my son a $20 Lego set. We made piles of Christmas cookies with family, friends, and a super awesome Redditor got him a $40 Roblox card. Meanwhile, his dad got him a very, very expensive Christmas gift. For some strange reason, last week, I got a shut-off notification from the gas company for my ex-husband's house. Sometimes it comes to my address, but the service address is his house. I can see the red notice through the envelope. At almost 50, he should know better, but he's still trying to win our son over with gifts. I'm sure having a warm house would be the better present. That is hard.
That's hard. Oof.
You came from a family who very much expressed their love through presents.
That's hard because you are trying to gain the attention of a child. And unlikely that they're really aware of the heating bill or what the heating bill costs or what it takes to pay that bill. You can't go to your son, child, daughter and say, just so you know, paid the heat this month, so you're good when you're over here. I think what that person wanted to say was spending quality time with your child can be better than going out and buying a fancy gift. Right? They expressed baking cookies, building Legos for a minimal price.
Versus buying the big expensive thing and then not meeting their basic needs.
This person wanted to slap the other ex-husband in the face with this. She wanted to be like, you're a fucking idiot.
And I think that it's very, really, it's very easy to come in from the outside and be like, yeah, you shouldn't have bought him something so expensive if you can't even pay for your heating bill.
Not how I would approach it.
Right. All right. Two very short little ones to wrap us up with. What examples of keeping up with the Joneses have you seen in your life? My example would be seeing people around me take increasingly expensive vacations and posting photo dumps on Facebook and Instagram while on vacation. I found it interesting that it wasn't enough for them to just enjoy a vacation. It was important to them that other people knew what a great time they were having.
I thought this was important to pull in, even though it was very short and it wasn't a huge story, right? But in today's age, we don't have photo albums. When you look at our parents and our grandparents, I can recall having multiple books of photo books and albums that you could go through and you can scroll, like, you know, you flip through the pages and there's pictures upon picture upon picture and shoeboxes full of pictures that they've saved. For us and our generation and the younger generation especially, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's social media. That is where people are putting their memories.
Everyone has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pictures on their phones. And then they select the best ones and the best memories. And those are the ones that make it up on the Instagram, Facebook, etc., social media world. And so I am totally a person who does this as well. I post them not even for others, but honestly for myself. Because I have so much in my personal photo album or phone that to go through all of them, it's not as meaningful. But then I sometimes go to my own personal Instagram page and I really enjoy looking through the years because I will do a post every few weeks or every month or so forth. And it'll be the big things. Oh, here's the holidays. Here's the kindergarten graduations. Here's the time that I went on vacation, and I really enjoy seeing those photos, the best of the vacation photos, where it's not 5 million photos because we've got the storage, so we just keep it on our phone.
Right.
But those are the best photos. So it's not even for everybody else. Sometimes it's just for me so that I can go back a year or two later and enjoy those photos without having to scroll through a million others that are photos of permission forms and, I don't know, other random things that land in my photo album.
So when you're scrolling social media and you see these photos, don't always assume it's because they're trying to show off.
All right. So I think this is all age-related too. In my 30s, don't really see any of this with my friends on social media. Everyone's pretty chill. No one's trying to outdo the other. In fact, most don't even post anything. The only couples I know flexing are in multi-level marketing schemes. So there's that. Another one. So in defense of pictures of vacations, I love photography. It's a big hobby of mine. I try to take pictures while I'm on vacation because I love taking pictures. This could be expansive landscape shots of where we are or some fun brunch spots that we got.
So I think that was probably it with this one. I didn't find really any other
comments. Well, that's a good point. All right, very last but not least, here we go, Matt. The basis of absolutely all my relationships is social status and how attractive they are. How fucked up is this? I've recently realized that I carefully choose who to associate with based on how they look and their connections with other people that I consider as influential. I guess it has to do with self-esteem issues and trying to control how people see me.
I think that they recognize that they are doing that specifically for those reasons is kind of fucked up. However, on the other hand, you are who you spend the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that I have selectively chosen individuals as I've met people or gone on with, like, that is a person that I want to spend time with, not specifically because I feel like I'm keeping up with the Joneses, but that's going to complement my friendship group, my life. Not necessarily, oh, they have a really nice car, so I need other people to see that. I don't do it for other people. I do it to... I don't know if benefit is the right word. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know who I like and who I want to spend my time with.
Maybe you admire those people. Hey, I want to be with people I admire. I'm really interested in these people who have made such amazing achievements, and I would love to be around them. Right. And I think that comes from higher self-esteem, right? Because then if you have lower self-esteem and you'd feel like you're not worth those people that you admire, then you tend to hang out with people who are below you so that they can help you with your self-esteem. I think that's an entirely different talk probably, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're surrounding yourself with people who have less achievements than you that you don't admire, that you're like, oh my God, they're such a fuck up that I look really good in comparison.
right.
It's an entirely different situation than you are owning where you are, where you're at, and choosing to put yourself into that situation that and that circle that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable with these people who you consider to be higher caliber than you are,
right?
So I admire these people who have so many more, whose net worth is more, whose accomplishments are more. I want to surround myself with them because I admire them versus because of your higher self-esteem that you feel like you're worthy of their company.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. I agree with that completely. This popped into my brain, but it's almost like if you were to walk into a cafeteria and there was two different lunch tables and you had to pick one, where would you go and pick? Where you felt comfortable, where you could dominate the conversation and run the show? Or would you pick the table where you felt less comfortable and probably maybe even of lower status?
But you could learn more.
But you could learn more and benefit from those people at that table.
Right. Like that is the best table to choose, right? But it's not as comfortable
Correct.
To sit in that spot. And maybe you might feel like you need to keep up with them more if you're sitting at that table. You need to do other things that they're already doing.
Yeah.
You're making $100,000 a year and they're making $300,000 a year. And your 2013 RAV4 is has mice in it.
It's just the real deal, people.
Right.
It's not great.
We think we got them all out. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
What do you do? Right.
So very interesting. What do the comments say? It's interesting on the things that we look at and find worthy to read. So like in the last story, one of the comments that like I purposely like put it in for was an old high school friend of mine makes constant Facebook posts about her stuff and tries to make it seem like it's about her kid. Look, little Amy wanted to watch movies, so we set up a theater in the backyard. Oh my, look at our fancy projector and the new pergola. Oh, haha, look at the newest Peloton user while little Amy sits on the Peloton. Aren't kids funny? It is never, ever about the kid or the kid's interests or accomplishment. Just stuff she's dying to show off. And I was going to take that and be like, well, I actually know someone who oftentimes does very similar posts and posts a lot of the things that they get or items that they get.
I think I know who this person is.
Where it does come off as pretentious and them trying to show off their things. But I would say after getting to know them and knowing other people that know them, they're actually not trying to show off or brag. They're legitimately just trying to share with their friends on Facebook.
Hey, look, I'm so excited about this, guys.
Right. So that was one of the things that I wanted to bring in with the previous story. And I just thought the last story was interesting overall, based on them trying to seek out these individuals purposefully.
Yeah.
So every, and like, oh, and there was another one. Every time I mow my lawn, my neighbor does. Where you have within a neighborhood different competitions. Or my hot tub's bigger than your hot tub. My hot tub has speakers built in.
So the competition of maybe back in the day where you could take it out on the sports, whatever you are, now it's like the competition of what you have and how fancy you are and the things that you have.
Right. So keeping up with the Joneses, like keeping up with the individuals around you by one-upping one another.
Oh, the one-uppers, though, are the worst. Don't be a one-upper.
But that's keeping up with the Joneses to a degree, right?
That's a struggle. Is just
we buy a new car, they buy a new car. We build a house, they build a house.
Just be satisfied with what you have.
Yeah.
Unless it's an 850 square foot house.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Just kidding.
Not a great thing. Worry about yourself. Do what's in your best interest.
It's so hard.
It is. It is tough. Because we all want, more. We make a lot of money. We make good money. Not a lot. Average. I'm not content. I want $1 million. I'm just saying. It's hard to be content with what you have because once you have it, I feel like you always want more.
The next thing.
So how do you...
So maybe it's that's more about what it is. Finding that contentment with what you have versus looking for that next best thing.
And what other people have.
Right. And comparing yourself to others. Because I guarantee you, I don't care about what my friends have. I love them for them. I love them for who they are. Like, I would love them to come over to my house if I can't go to their house. Right. Or, right? Like, it's not about what they have. That's not why I'm hanging out with them. It's because they are who they are and they have flipping fantabulous personalities. And
right. And this is a quote that I heard last night while I was recording with Ryan.
What is it?
Is comparison is a thief of all joy.
Oh, yeah. Is that the first time you've heard that?
No.
Okay.
But it struck a chord with me right now.
Yes.
Within this context, comparison is a thief of all joy. Comparing yourself to others makes you want that next best thing, the better thing. And it's a thief. It's taking joy from what you have.
And this is also a principle that I've, like this past week has been really prevalent with the kids. like we praise one kid for doing something really awesome. Hey, Eloise, you really cleaned up your dollhouse. Really awesome. I am so impressed. You really organized that like so well. You took so much time to do that. It looks so nice and awesome. And then Emmett, who had zero involvement in anything, just starts crying because...
He's five, newly five.
Well, right. But because... He didn't get praise for not doing, I don't know, for, right? But it's like, just because someone else has done something amazing and they get praise for that, that doesn't detract from you as a person and your good things that you have done in your life and all of the wonderful cleaning that little Emmett has done and picking up his little dinosaurs and toys and whatever. Like, that's still pretty awesome and pretty cool. But it's a really hard concept. And I think even going into adulthood can be really hard. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that too. Just because someone else is being praised for something fabulous and wonderful, it doesn't mean that I am any less. It means that they did something really cool and that's really great and good for them. I'm hard still lesson. Really cool.
Hard lesson.
Yeah, but it's something that you have to remind yourself of, I think, as an adult in this world.
Right.
Because that probably wasn't a lesson that in the parenting of yesteryears when we grew up, that probably wasn't a lesson that was taught very, very often, right? It's the whole, like, just because somebody else has lit a candle doesn't mean that yours is blown out or whatever. You can light everybody. I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
All these metaphors. All right.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses. You don't have to keep up with them. Just go at your own pace and your own rate. And
this is fun. Some good insights.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you happy in the 850 square foot house that we have?
Sometimes I really do think I'm going to miss it.
I know.
But on to bigger and better things, damn it. Thank you for following. Subscribe, like, comment. We appreciate you. And thank you for listening.
Let us know what your thoughts are about keeping up with the Joneses. I don't know. How can we do better?
And have you ever kept up with the Joneses? What's your examples? Tell us. We want to know.
Very good.
What's the coolest thing you've bought because you've been trying to keep up with somebody?
Do your budget meetings, me people.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.